Welcome to the Business of Government Hour, a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. The Business of Government Hour is produced by the IBM Center for the Business of Government, which was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. And now, the Business of Government Hour.
Good morning. I'm Albert Morales, your host and managing partner of the IBM Center for the Business of Government. Challenged by the administration, federal agencies have sought to identify new and smarter ways to do business and move toward a government that is citizen-centered and results-oriented. To be successful in this area, federal agencies require support and assistance, and the U.S. General Services Administration, or GSA, works to provide that support, staking a leadership role in reducing wasteful government spending. With us this morning to discuss his organization's leadership is our very special guest, David Bibb, Acting Administrator at the U.S. General Services Administration. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Albert. How are you?
Good, good. Thank you. Also joining us in our conversation is Marty Wagner, Senior Fellow at the IBM Center for the Business of Government. Good morning, Marty.
Good morning.
David, before we get started, could you set some context for our listeners by providing a sense of the history and mission of the U.S. General Services Administration? Can you tell us when it was created and what its mission is today?
Sure. We were created in 1949, and really we were an outgrowth of World War II in a lot of ways. The government had a lot of real property assets that it needed to dispose of, and there was also a perceived need to centralize the acquisition of basic common goods. So GSA was set up to do those two things from the start. Over the years, the mission has grown to the point that we're a very large business today, doing business to the tune of about $60 billion worth of sales to other federal agencies and, in some cases, state and local governments, too, each year. From time to time, because we do change, we revise our mission statement, and we did that last year. So our mission statement starts out by talking about leveraging the buying power of the federal government, which we can do because we, as a $60 billion business, we're buying a lot of stuff, goods and services and buildings. But we've added to that over the years. Maybe this one goes back to 1949 when GSA was set up, but part of the mission statement says we exercise responsible asset management. In other words, we have many historic buildings that are held in trust for the American people from here on out. They're going to be here as long as there's the United States of America, and we take that stewardship seriously, and that extends to other areas too. But then we talk about in our mission statement delivering superior workplaces, and you wouldn't have found that when GSA was formed. We believe there's a direct correlation between the quality of the workplace and the performance of the people who work in the space. So we're getting better and better at figuring out how to provide good workplaces, both within the buildings that we manage and if people want to work at home or work anywhere else. That's why we call them superior workplaces, because they can be anywhere. We also talk about expert business solutions. We think we can talk with an agency and understand how they operate and come up with solutions that they might not have even thought about themselves. And then finally, the last phrase of our mission statement talks about innovative and effective management policies. We do have a government-wide policy role that didn't exist when GSA was formed. And we always want to be. The word innovative is in our mission statement because we just can't be stagnant, whether it's developing policies or thinking about how we provide, what are the services and goods that federal agencies are going to need 10 years from now. We've got to constantly innovate.
Well, it's a very broad and it sounds like a very evolving mission that you described. Can you give us perhaps some more particulars about the organization itself, perhaps the size of the budget? You talk about $60 billion organization, the number of full-time employees, how you're geographically organized around the country.
Well, we have a headquarters and 11 regional offices. And because of our buildings being in virtually every community, we actually have field offices in about 120 locations, primarily for people to manage those buildings through contractors. We are primarily within the United States, although our federal acquisition service, goods and services that they supply are actually provided worldwide. So we have some people in Europe, some people in the Far East, but the majority of our employees are in the United States. And we have 12,000 employees. I mentioned the annual business volume. Our revenue is $60 billion because when you talk about budget, only about 1% of GSA's operating funds come from direct appropriations. The rest come from the fees that we charge our users. And in many areas, we're non-mandatory, so we have to be sharp as a business or federal agencies will take their business elsewhere. So 12,000 employees, about $60 billion worth of business per year. 1% of that's appropriated geographic footprint. all over the country with our 11 regional offices and the field offices, plus some presence overseas, too.
And David, now that you've provided us with a sense of the larger organization, perhaps you could tell us more about your specific role, what your specific responsibilities and duties are?
Well, I view myself as being in the front office of GSA, and one of the roles is to be a face of GSA for both our employees and for the vendor community, for our customers. So part of it is symbolic. I think that goes with anyone who's number one or number two at any federal agency or any institution. I also have some pretty specific roles that I've carved out for myself. I've been very interested in developing a strategic marketing capability within the agency so that we're more intentional. When I say marketing, we're not out to raise revenues just for revenue's sake. We believe we're the best value going in the government. So we need to intentionally target who looks to be a good customer who could benefit from GSA. Another thing that I've been working in is our relationship with the Department of Defense, which is by far our largest customer on the federal acquisition side of the business. And I didn't mention before when we were talking about organization, our two main business lines are the Federal Acquisition Service, which provides just about any good and service you can think about, and information technology services. The other major business is the public building service, which builds the federal buildings you see all over the country, leases space for federal employees. But our relationship with DOD has been, over the last 3 years or so, improving. We went through a rocky period of time when working with DOD, I think we were both to blame in some ways. We simply were not making good contracts, and we were not handling their money correctly. So it's taken some time to rebuild some of those relationships with DOD. So I've been working very hard myself with a working group to rebuild that business. And it has grown. We're up 6% this year in DOD business versus last year. Many of our interfaces with DOD are on the upswing. I feel like part of my job is to set strategic direction for the agency. That's one reason we updated our strategic plan last year, and then our executives' performance plans and our individuals' performance plans tie to that strategic plan, and their bonuses, both rank and file employees and executives, are tied to, in part, how well they do against those performance measures, which dovetail back to the strategic plan. Another key part of my job is to monitor performance, and we have a very strong quarterly performance review program. I sit in on some of those. For example, with the Federal Acquisition Service and the Public Building Service and our Chief Financial Officer, to see what they said they were going to do for the quarter and for the year, whether it's revenue or responsiveness in terms of time to respond to a customer. And I sit in on those and see how we're doing. And if we're not doing well in an area, I'll be asking questions about how come. And then the other piece really is the intangible of leadership. I think people need to be lifted above themselves. And I think that's part of my role is to be out there doing that, not so much as a cheerleader, but when I acted as administrator back a couple of years ago, one of the first things I did was to put out a video, and I did a series of those for all employees, almost kind of a personal one-on-one. They could bring it up on their computer anytime just to reassure them that the previous administrator had left, but we had some very clear goals and that I was there to lead them in continuing to achieve and improve. I think that's important. I learned a long time ago about myself that on the scale of introvert to extrovert, I'm more introverted than extroverted. So then I took a course in leadership where the guy who was teaching was very good about moving beyond yourself, giving the employees, the people you work with, a kind of shoot for the stars feeling. This is fun. This is you can do this. And I think that's a very important role, is just the leader role. And I might mention something that may get a little touchy-feely, but I believe it's important. There's something called a servant leader that you really you remember that you're there to serve the people who are working in the agency. You're certainly there to serve the customer, but I believe in treating people well. I believe in treating people with respect, and I believe when you do that, that it filters on down through the organization.
David, could you maybe talk to the top three challenges you face and what you're doing to address them?
Well, we have being competitive, non-mandatory. Competition is always a challenge. And one cause that is a personal cause with me is the proliferation of acquisition vehicles that have sprung up around the government. Most people think of GSA as the supplier of goods and services, but when you start looking across the government, There are over 250 vehicles that agencies can use either within their own agency or on an interagency basis that directly compete with what GSA does. Now, we don't mind competition, but 250 is too many. That's proliferation to a scale that is out of control. So, you know, I don't expect that to be fully remedied during this administration. There's not enough time left to do that, frankly. But we do have transition coming up. It's an issue that we have discussed over the last few months with some of the political leadership within the administration, and certainly an issue that I intend to discuss with the incoming administration also. That's a challenge. Another challenge in any big organization is just staying on the same page. We have so many people and so many programs that it's a challenge to get us all going in the same direction. I found it to be very effective to form working groups. I mentioned I had the DOD-GSA working group. At the table, we'll have our Congressional Affairs Group, our Public Affairs Group, Federal Acquisition Service, Public Building Service, or anything, Chief Acquisition Officer, so that we all are hearing the same thing. We'll make assignments and we'll agree on due dates, and it just helps to coordinate when we can bring everybody together. The third big challenge we have is just the shortage of capital for infrastructure. That's not unique to GSA. GSA owns about, or leases, about one-tenth of the total federal inventory of real property, because there are lots of defense bases, VA hospitals, energy plants, Department of Energy plants. So when you add it all up, post offices, we have about 10%, mostly general purpose office space. We're all in the same boat. And you read about it on highways and bridges and in anything in the nation's infrastructure. Too many needs and not enough dollars. And in our current budget arrangement in the U.S. government, it's a cash on the barrel arrangement. There's no creative financing or mortgage financing. That just can't, in my opinion, that just can't continue forever. They're going to have to be new tools to deal with that.
So, David, I understand that you started your career back in 1971 as an intern over at GSA. Could you describe your career path for our listeners? And as you sort of reflect on your career, you talked a little bit about leadership. Were there other moments in your career that perhaps have shaped your current management style and approach?
Well, I began in 1971, as you said, in our Atlanta regional office. And that was a good place to start, because being in the headquarters, it certainly helps to have had some regional experience, because they're the folks who get the job done on the line. We set the policy, set the budgets, provide some leadership, but they are where the rubber meets the road. So that was very helpful to me. In 1978, I had an opportunity to come to Washington, and I've stayed. I feel like a Washington area native by now, certainly, and have enjoyed it very much. There have certainly been people and opportunities that have impacted my career. The first one was moving up here. At some time, people have to make a decision if they're going to make a physical move. And I had help in Atlanta, mentors. I had help when I got here. Various people through my career have appeared, or I've sought out for advice and counsel. I've tried to apply the lessons I've learned from those folks. I remember early on, not long after I came to Washington, one of the senior executives I worked for made it a point to take me along with several others just to watch him as he testified before Congress, and he would probably testify 10 or 12 times per year. He was an absolute master at it. I adopted a lot of his techniques. I probably testified 100 times before Congress, and every time I go up there, I'm thinking about some of the things I saw in action. All of that has led me to one role I serve at GSA, which is the mentoring champion for the agency. Most of my mentoring was informal mentoring. To toss a bouquet at Marty, he came along at a time in my career when it was time for a change. He offered me the opportunity to make a change when he worked at GSA, and I did. And Marty was a good mentor, but a lot of that was informal mentoring. We have a very strong formal mentor-protege program at GSA, and I think I'm committed to that because of the help I got along the way.
That's great. What is the value of having a central provider like GSA? We will ask David Bibb, Acting Administrator at the U.S. General Services Administration, to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.